Hello, everyone. This is the Parks Academy, where we discuss and celebrate all things theme parks related. We focus mainly on Disney parks and resorts in both Anaheim and Orlando. My name is Paige.
My name is Steven.
And today we are continuing our series on defunct Disney things.
Yes, we are. And I'm really excited about this one today because I was trying to think of something fun and easy and still interesting to go over. And it turns out that while it is fun and interesting, it wasn't so easy because, like anything Disney related, the more I jumped into it, the more I dove into this, the more I realized what a storied and insane history there is. And to be honest with you, with two kids and everything we've got going on, I bet you I don't even have all the crazy details, but from what I did find, it was really insane. So I'm excited to jump into this week.
I'm excited for this one because I don't know much about this particular item that you're going to be teaching us about today.
Yeah, neither did I, but I'm stoked. So what are you excited about this week?
What am I excited about this week? I am excited about Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
We are rewatching Grey's Anatomy, and by that I mean Steven is watching it for the very first time. And I am kind of watching it for the first time. I've seen a couple episodes here and there because my mom used to watch it when it was originally on. But yeah, I'm excited because we have been diving into that. We are almost finished season two. And after we record this episode, we will probably watch an episode or two of that before we go to bed. And so I'm really excited about that.
Yes, it's good. It's fun. It's not like my type of show per se, but there is a lot of good in it. I like Dr. Burke quite a bit, and who else do we like in that? I mean,
we love George O'Malley.
We like George. I have a soft spot for Dr. Female Shepherd, but I think
no.
She seems. I think she's doing her best, but other than that, that's
we do not we are not fans of Dr. Female Shepherd.
Sure, I get you.
Dr. Addison Shepherd is out.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm excited about, this is kind of your thing, but I'm going to steal it. This week, one of your favorite podcasters, Annie F. Downs, actually asked about, what did she ask for? She asked to see, like,
followers. She wanted to know what podcasts we make, because she was like, there's so many of you that have your own podcasts. Tell me what they are, and I'd love to give them a listen. And she gave ours a listen, and she put it on her little playlist, and it's one of the featured ones on the cover art of her Spotify playlist.
Right. So I was going to say, not only did she feature us, but the one that you recommended, I guess you had to have, was the Brett Iwan episode.
Yes. She asked for which episode we would recommend they start with, and I, of course, suggested one of our favorite episodes. Mm-hmm. I told her either our artist spotlight series, because we had so many wonderful Disney artists that, you know, we love to promote them. And so that was a really great way for us to do that and for them to share their stories and how they got into Disney art. So if you've just joined our podcast or you've been pointed our way from Annie F. Downs, I would encourage you to go back and check those out, because that series was super awesome. That was last spring. Or our Brett Iwan episode with the one and only Mickey Mouse.
So check this out. I'm on her playlist, which we will link in our page. She has 416 podcasts in her list, and we're the fourth one.
Woo.
So that means that, you know, our show art is in the like square of the featured images. So that's really cool.
Super exciting. Thanks, Annie.
That was really nice of you. Yeah, thank you for doing that. So what we're going to be talking about today specifically is Disney dollars. Now, I knew that these existed and I had heard of them, but I never really participated in them before. And it wasn't until earlier last year when my mom texted me from her house, and as she was cleaning stuff out, she asked me if I wanted the two Disney dollars that she had, and I said, sure. Now, she got these in the late 80s. When she and my dad went down to Disneyland with one of my older cousins. This was before my sister and I were born. And she had apparently saved these. They were in great condition. And the way the Disney dollars started, just kind of before I get into the full history of it all, is that they came out in 1987. And essentially what happened with these Disney dollars is that they were a broad scope here. They were essentially Disney's very own currency, right? So they had, in 1987, they had two waves. They had the 1987 dollar and then the 1987 A dollar. And I believe that we have some of the very first ones based on the artwork. And it also looks to me like we have the 1987 A series. And I think that we have like the, based on the serial number, it looks like it's 300,000 something. And millions of these dollars were printed. So
that is super cool.
It is cool. We have two of them hanging on our wall in our kids' playroom with all of our other Disney stuff. So if they're extremely valuable, I might have to move them. But all that to say, so before I jump into these Disney dollars, there were these Mickey Mouse cones bills, and they were created in 1933. And essentially what these things were, they were from one of the very first merchandisers or, you know, developers of products for Disney. He went to Walt about, you know, creating product and trying to get Mickey Mouse out there as kind of a publicity thing in the early 30s. And one of his ideas was to create these 1 cent Mickey Mouse cones. That's literally what they're called, is Mickey Mouse cones bills. And it feels like a tongue twister to say that.
It does. It doesn't feel like it makes sense.
But... it doesn't, no. But basically kids were able to get these things and then take them to their local Mickey Mouse club and redeem them for ice cream.
What a sweet idea.
Mm-hmm. And this was, what, 22 years before the parks opened. So
the 30s, yep.
It was a very early concept. But anyway, all that to say, the story goes that Jack Lindquist was Disneyland's first advertising manager in 1955. And then in the early 90s, in 1990, he actually became the president of Disneyland. And he really considered Disney to kind of be its own little small country of sorts. And so as he was, you know, thinking about, as he was really kind of thinking about the story and the narrative of Disney, he was trying to figure out, you know, these kind of like harebrained ideas. And honestly, some of these could be their own episodes, frankly, of things that they could actually do for Disney, for publicity. One of them was that he had an idea to send all of Mickey and his friends away on vacation and allow the Muppets to take over the parks.
That is bizarre.
That was one thing he wanted to do. He did, bizarre. In fact, for Mickey Mouse's 60th birthday, develop a cornfield in Iowa that was shaped like Mickey Mouse's head.
Okay.
And for Disneyland's 30th anniversary, he set up this play where every 30th guest that walked through the gates would get a prize, and it was anything from a plush all the way to like a new car or something like that.
What?
So a lot of crazy, innovative ideas. And so basically he kind of had this idea in his head, and Harry Bryce, who was a silhouette artist on Main Street, this was in the late 80s, right around the time that they, you know, got these bills together. He went to a Disney convention and he really began to notice that people were going crazy for anything with Disney on it. And so he thought, well, you know, if people are going this crazy for Disney stuff, wouldn't it be interesting if we made, you know, like facsimile fake dollars with Disney characters on them? And so he went to Neil McClure and was kind of pitching him the idea. And Jack was involved in the meeting and he recommended that perhaps they go with real money instead of just creating like souvenir money, basically. And so they were printed and engraved on cotton rag paper, which is the exact same thing that real US currency is printed on. And they have multiple anti-counterfeit measures, including watermarks and like confetti. I don't even know what you would call it, but like when you like will hold up a dollar to the sky and you see like the reflective print.
Oh, yeah.
Confetti and stuff like that. And then, of course, I said that the dollar we had was the 300,000th. They also had all of their own serial numbers on them.
That is so intense. But I guess they don't want people making their own Disney money or trying to make their own Disney dollars. And, you know, there are so many cast members. If they're not right. checking it like they would check regular cash.
So I mentioned just a moment ago that in 1987, they released the very first bills. And what was crazy is, so I said we had what, 300,000 something?
Yeah.
So the first printing consisted of 870,000 $1 bills and 176,000 $5 bills. And they were printed in Battle Creek, Michigan, and they were engraved by the U.S. Banknote Corporation. So they really did go through their own sort of paces of legitimacy. And like I said, that, you know, Jack really considered Disney to be its own small country with millions and millions of people that are there every single year. And so why not essentially, you know, make your own money?
I mean, why not? There's a lot of companies that have this similar kind of thing. Like, so I used to work for the Baltimore Orioles, and you know, everywhere you can pretty much get a gift card, but we used to have these sort of gift certificates, and it was basically just printed on ticket paper. And you could get it in, you know, values of 5, 10, 15, 20. And it worked like cash, but it was basically just only for things at baseball games. So you could use it for concessions or tickets or so, you know, this is a really innovative thing that companies do, because they want you to turn your money into money that they already get. And then you're just coming back and spending it with them, because you can't turn it back in for your own cash.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just using it towards stuff at the parks, which that's kind of like what we do with Disney gift cards.
100%. I mean,
when we go on vacation now, this is just a really unique situation, because Disney dollars can also be souvenirs for people.
Right. Well,
which I imagine a lot of people did anyway.
That is 100% some of the thinking. So the very first one was actually on it. It said may be used as legal tender only at Disneyland. And that was first issued on May 5th, 1987. In September, on September 9th, 1987. Right. So I told you there was an A at the end of it. That was for Anaheim, essentially. And then the D, some of them will have a D at the end of the serial number, and that's for Disney World. And those ones were actually released on October 2nd, 1987 in Disney World.
So were they not interchangeable?
Well, they were. So once then they updated the information to say maybe used as legal tender only at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. So they were interchangeable,
yep.
But the A and the D kind of described where they were distributed. Correct. Oh. So the number one was something called the Waving Mickey, and it was a really nice Mickey with like a starburst kind of color behind him. And then on the back of the bill, you had Sleeping Beauty's castle. Those are the ones that we have hanging up. And I don't have this one, but they had a $5 bill with Goofy on it. It's kind of called like a proud Goofy because he has his eyes closed and his head is sort of tilted up. And on the back of it is, I think that's Mark Twain's riverboat. So those were the first ones that were ever distributed. Now, they stayed fairly consistent. There weren't a whole lot of changes on them. I do know that in 1988, the Sleeping Beauty's castle was replaced by a horse-drawn carriage in Main Street. And then the Goofy dollar was switched over to the two main parks at the time in Disney World, which was Epcot and Magic Kingdom. So you had Cinderella's castle with the Epcot Spaceship Earth behind it, and then a boat on the water. And then it stayed about the same in 1989. But then in 1990, we were introduced a $10 bill with Minnie Mouse on it. And the $10 bill on the back had some marquees of Disneyland specifically. So it had Sleeping Beauty's castle, the newest attraction at the time for the 35th anniversary, Splash Mountain, Small World, Space Mountain, Matterhorn, and then one of the Star Tours ships.
That's so cute. I love the Minnie Mouse one.
It was really cute, for sure. So they went through a bunch of different variations. They did stay fairly consistent year over year. But then in 1993, for Mickey's 65th birthday, they did release some Toontown dollars. They completely reshaped the $1 bill, and they added a Mickey that was a little bit more, he had a little bit more detail to him, and on the back was Mickey in his tuxedo sitting in his car right in front of his house in Toontown. And then the 5 and the 10 stayed about the same. It didn't really continue to change much until, gosh, it was more into like the late 90s. So in 1997, we do see some big changes in the $1, $5, and $10 bill, where for the 25th anniversary of Walt Disney World, you have Sorcerer's Mickey on the $1 bill with like a Cinderella's royal carriage with a big 25 on the back. Then on the $5, you had Goofy in a top hat and a suit and tie with the Spaceship Earth on the 25. And then they completely replaced Minnie Mouse on the $10 bill with Simba. And it was, I guess what, at the time, the MGM Mickey Water Tower?
Yes, it is.
So that was a huge change there. And I will get into the Simba dollar in a little bit because that is extremely, extremely valuable.
Really?
It is. It really is.
Is it rare?
It's pretty rare. Yeah.
Okay.
So then as we move into the, as we move into the 2000s, for the new millennia, there were, the dollars really took on kind of more of a life of their own. You had a very classic Mickey Mouse in his tuxedo. There was confetti on the back, was Spaceship Earth of the giant 2000 and the Mickey hand and wand over it that they had for a while there. Goofy was popping out of his $5 bill and there was confetti. And I'm assuming it looks like a bunch of parade floats on the back. There's like the fairy godmother. It looks like a three-headed giraffe, Simba, and a swan. So that one's kind of interesting.
That one's really weird. I thought from over here, it looked like maybe it was like Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon or something.
No. Like that. It's weird. I think it's like a parade. I think it might be a parade of some kind.
I think it is a parade.
And then once again, the $10 bill was replaced with Donald Duck. And on the back is the brand new Disneyland Paris castle. So Disney was definitely having a lot of fun with these. And as things progressed in 2001, for instance, they updated again with Sorcerer Mickey. In honor of DCA, they added Mickey Mouse as like a hiker with the bear mountain behind him. And then the $10 bill kind of was an inaugural nod to the Disneyland Resort rebranding. That included DCA, of course, and Mickey and Minnie had, they were total tourists and they had sunglasses and Hawaiian shirts on.
Those are my favorite ones so far. Those were really cute.
Those are awesome. Right. And by the way, we will link a lot of these into the show notes so people can see them. I'm actually getting almost all this information from a website I did not know existed called DisneyDollars.net. So there is literally an entire website dedicated to this. In 2002, to celebrate 100 years of magic, they replaced the $1 with Steamboat Willie. And on the back, they had a bunch of stuff from Fantasia, as well as Chip and Dale, Dopey, Cinderella, the Fairy Godmother, and for some random reason, Donald Duck with all of them.
I don't know who designed the ones in 2002, but yikes.
Right. And then the
fire your graphic designer. These are terrible looking.
The $5 was then replaced with Snow White, same back, and then the $10 was Tinkerbell. Now, moving on to 2003, we kind of go back to the basics, where we have Mickey Mouse with the Disneyland Resort, Sleeping Beauty's castle behind it. The $5, once again, is Goofy with Cinderella's castle. And then the $10, of course, we have Donald Duck again with Paris Castle. Nothing really super, you know, interesting to note there. 2004... they skip, nothing really changes. But then 2005 is when things start getting really wonky. And I was going to test you on this, but since you're looking at my screen, I'll just say it. The $1 bill of all the people of any Disney property that could replace Mickey Mouse as one of the sole as one of the sole characters on the $1 bill was none other than Chicken Little.
You could not have paid me $1 million to guess that it was Chicken Little.
And that was going to be my question. And so what sucks about this one is I actually looked this dollar up online. You can get it for like, I think, 12 bucks or 13 bucks or something.
No, thank you.
So it has Chicken Little looking up at the sky in the front. And then it says on the back of it, Walt Disney Studios presents Chicken Little. And then on the other side of the back of the dollar, it says summer 2005, disney.com/Chicken Little. So this was a promotional dollar, if for nothing else.
It's so weird. I recognize that Dumbo dollar. I think maybe we had Disney dollars in 2005. Because I really, like, that is a core memory. I can picture that Dumbo dollar from 2005. I don't know why.
Yeah, so these dollars specifically were to celebrate the Happiest Place on Earth celebration in 2005. Which marked the 50th of Disneyland. And so you had Dumbo, and you had on the one, and then you had Donald Duck got demoted to the five. And then this one makes total sense. Stitch gets moved to the 10, which is a lot of fun. And then they went really crazy, and for the 50th, they released $50 bills. And
those
there were
really
two different ones.
Nice looking.
They are really nice looking. I would love to get my hands on one of these. You have a pretty modern looking Mickey Mouse standing in front of a mirror, and the very old kind of original looking Mickey is there. And then you have this other $50 bill that was called Mickey in the Mirror. And then Tuxedo Mickey Mouse, another $50 bill, has a very classic looking Mickey. These are very vibrant, kind of fun looking dollars. And I'm very excited to share with you some of the price on these. Do not look at the notes and get spoiled.
You got it. I will not cheat.
In 2006, they continued on The Happiest Place on Earth for a second year. They removed promptly Chicken Little because that just didn't need to remain. And they had a little bit of fun with it on this one, too. They had Cinderella as the $1 bill. And you had Goofy on the $5 and Minnie back on the $10. But these had the same sort of feel as the last ones. They were just really vibrant and fun. And then in 2007, they kind of went back to this older style looking dollar. But they were still really sharp and really nice looking. These ones specifically were celebrating 20 years of Disney dollars. So that's kind of why they went back to the basics a little bit. And they had Ariel on the one, Sleeping Beauty on the $5, Cinderella on the $10, and then in honor of Pirates of the Caribbean, they released some Pirates of the Caribbean Curse of the Black Pearl dollars. They had a $1 bill, and then they were all $1 bills, and they had the Black Pearl, Flying Dutchman, and the Empress, the three main ships, on the back of the dollars with kind of like the logo of the movie on the front, which they're neat. Not really my cup of tea, but I think they're pretty cool.
Those also look familiar. I'm going to have to ask my parents because I feel like we maybe had those.
You got
to
get your hands on them.
I think we probably spent them. I think we probably thought these are going to be around a while. Let's spend what we have. But I remember getting a little envelope with Disney dollars.
Yes,
my parents gave us each an envelope so that we had stuff to spend.
So that's funny because they had envelopes that you would buy to put your dollars in, or you did buy them.
That's what it came in. Yeah, for sure.
Sort of speaking of that, they had those, and they had like Christmas ones too. So if you wanted to buy them as gifts for people, they had like Christmas Disney dollar envelopes and all kinds of stuff. So it was cool.
Cute.
In 2008, they were celebrating Mickey Mouse's 80th birthday. And each bill represented a different year when Mickey appeared. So these ones specifically were designed by a man named Charles Bloyer. And he had the $1 bill was kind of the original black and white Mickey Mouse. The $5 bill had bandleader Mickey Mouse. And then the $10 bill had this ungodly Mickey Mouse Clubhouse character on it.
I was going to say, it looks like all of a sudden we have Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Right. And then on the back, it says Mickey Mouse 80th Anniversary. 28 to 2008, and it's just a progression of his sort of character evolution. But I do not like the $10 bill at all.
It doesn't fit with the rest of
Not them. A fan. 2009, we go directly into the newest theme for Disney called What Will You Celebrate? And this was just a year of all kinds of celebrations, whether it's birthdays or anniversaries or otherwise. And so each dollar had confetti and balloons and all kinds of stuff. It had Mickey Mouse and Pluto on the one with a birthday cake and party hats. The five had Daisy and Minnie in party hats. And then the 10 had Goofy blowing at a cake, and frosting was all over Mickey's face. And it's not great. And the back of these bills say there's so much in life worth celebrating, with Cinderella's castle and a bunch of balloons. And it's very misleading because Cinderella's castle is coming out of the clouds, which I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, no, we're not flying in the clouds to
no.
Cinderella's castle. It sounds like right around 2009, they started seeing a dip in sales of Disney dollars. Mm-hmm. And so they really wanted to get on the buy these for birthdays, buy these for whatever occasion you have.
Well, so my recollection, though, is that in 2009, it was the Disney Park Celebrate Today theme, because they always have like these big themed years. And so I do believe that in 2009, it was a Celebrate Today, and then it was just a celebrating everything kind of situation. Moving into the 2010s, they skipped 2010, but in 2011, they introduced a brand new $1 bill, and that was from Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, and it had the Queen Anne's Revenge ship on the back of it. Nothing really crazy changing there, just a Pirates of the Caribbean theme. 2013, they had some fun with a heroes and villains kind of theme. And they actually, one of the two interesting facts about this, the series had a very, very low print run. So there was only 6 digits for the serial number. And the other very, and so just pointing out here, the number, the $1 bill had, it was 101 Dalmatians with Cruella on the front, the Dalmatians on the back. And then the other $1 bill had Ursula and then Eric and Ariel on the back. Now, the one interesting thing about these particular dollars is that Dalmatians was spelled incorrectly on these bills.
Really?
Correct. Yep.
Like all of them.
All of them. So Dalmatians Somebody is Dalmatians, and they spelt it Dalmationes.
Who in the world?
So
nobody double checked. Nobody was like, let me just confirm this before we print, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, no. Oh, and it continues. I'm sorry, I should have kept going down here. It continues. There was another $1 bill with Peter Pan, Captain Hook on the front, Peter and Wendy on the back. And then the final one was Maleficent as the dragon, and then Aurora and her prince, whose name I completely forget.
Isn't it Philip?
Yeah, sure, Philip. There it is.
I think it's Philip.
And so those were a lot of fun. Those were the brand new 2013 Disney dollars. Now, the very last year of Disney dollars was 2014. And so this one, these were fun, I think. These ones were a lot of fun. So in 2014... it was the first year since 2009 that a full set of Disney dollars had been released. And so this one was actually their Mountain series. And they replaced the 1, the 5, and the 10. And they were all with Mickey Mouse. So the front of the 1 for this Mountain series was Splash Mountain. On the back was Mickey going down Splash Mountain. The 5 was Thunder Mountain with Mickey likewise on that ride. And then the 10 was Space Mountain with Mickey on Space Mountain. And these ones were super, super fun. They were really, really cool. Similarly, they only had 6 digits in the serial numbers, but those were really cool. So those were pretty much all the dollars that were released. And what's interesting is that they had some other random ones that I'm trying to remember exactly. Oh, here we go. So they had some called Villionaire Dollars. And so in 2001, Disney had... Disney had come out with a game of Who Wants to Be a Villionaire. It was kind of like a PC game of sorts. And so they actually had these digital Who Wants to Be a Villionaire dollars with all the villains on them. And they kind of riffed off of, you know, the Disney dollars with more of this digital version of them. They also had some other things that were had to do with dollars. So for instance, in 2001, the El Capitan Theater created a Disney-style dollar, and it was able to be redeemed at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, and it was essentially valid for buying concessions and things if you went to go see a Disney movie. And then, of course, they capitalized on the dollars by creating pins. So you could get Disney Dollar lanyards, 20th anniversary pins, Disney Dollar 2000 pins, 2008 Presidential Series lanyard pins, and then they had actually special edition Mickey Mouse coins. So Disney really, really leaned in very, very heavily to these whole Disney Dollar lifestyle. And they had so many different types and so many different styles that it just kind of, you know, it just kind of blew up. But unfortunately, it ended in 2014 because people just weren't using cash as much.
Well, yeah, now a lot of places don't use cash at all.
Mm-hmm. And what else was introduced around that time? that would have stopped people?
iPhones?
Magic bands.
Ah, magic.
So because Disney dollars were essentially magic bands now, people didn't really, you know, need
you just
to
hook up your card and
right. Your Disney dollars are effectively your wrist.
Yeah.
Dang. So unfortunately, you know, it they kind of went away, but you can still use them if you wanted to. Like if you wanted to go to the park and we took our two Disney dollars, we could technically buy
We could buy something worth $2.
I can't think of a single thing in Disney that would be worth.
We could buy a crumb.
I could buy a crumb.
We could buy a quarter of a lollipop.
I could probably buy a replacement backing for a pin.
Yeah, we could. Maybe.
But they probably sell them in bulk for like $5.
They might give us the cardboard part of the pin.
There you go. Perfect. So right now, the thing with Disney dollars is that they are way more of collector's items than they are anything else. So I want to tell you a story about a man named Tom D'Arcy. He went to Disneyland in 1987 from Pennsylvania. And during the beginning of the release of Disney dollars, he purchased over $2,300 worth of Disney dollars. And he also bought the very first artist proof sheet of Disney, the Disney dollar design in the Disneyana store on Main Street. And his whole thing was that he wanted to have these as collector's items for he and his kid. So he took some of them. I believe he spent some of them in the parks, but he took them and sort of stowed them away for a while. So, Disney's whole thinking behind all of these pens was that, or all of these dollars rather, was that they estimated that the majority of people would buy Disney dollars, spend half, and then keep the other half. So this was...
They thought they were making money.
I don't think they thought they were making money. I think they were just making money.
Yeah. Well, they were banking on the fact that people were going to buy them for the novelty, but then also spend that at their stores and in the parks and everything. But they also thought they're going to pay us for the dollars and then not even spend it all. So we still get to keep more of our products.
Correct.
That makes sense.
Exactly right. And it's kind of like buying a gift card and losing it is essentially right. What happened.
Or leaving, you know, $3.58 left on it. And so they made a little money.
Right. Right. But if you buy a 1, a 5, and a 10, and you keep $16, you know.
Right.
You've times however many people go to visit the park. I was looking around on eBay, and these dollars kind of go, depending on, so first of all, if I just look up Disney dollar on eBay today, there are 3,900 plus results. And the very first one that comes up is, for instance, a 2005 $10 Minnie Mouse 50th anniversary dollar for $95. And I found a Disney dollar Sorcerer Mickey for $90. The Chicken Little one, actually, you can get for $60 online. Well, the interesting thing is, if you average out the value today of these dollars, the 1987 $1 bill averages about $19 on average, if you want to buy that one.
Sure.
The Proud Goofy 1987 $5 bill is about $53 on average, if you want to buy it on eBay.
Oh.
The Simba dollar that I had mentioned to you, that one, with all said and done, it averages about $117 online. Roughly.
And he was what, the 10?
That is correct.
Because he took over for me?
That's correct.
Jeez.
So there's some that are a lot more than that, just depending on their, and remember too, like this is kind of based too on like their value and their, or excuse me, their current state and like, you know,
right.
How nice they are, if they're mint condition or whatever. The 2005 Tuxedo Mickey, which was a $50 bill, that averages roughly $642. And then remember the one that you said you liked that was by Charles Boyer, the 50th of Mickey looking in the mirror?
Yeah.
That one, there was only 2,000 of those made. And that particular bill averages, $50 bill, averages $2,700
Whoa.
On eBay. So it's aggressive how much people are willing to spend. Like, I actually tried to find the eBay version of the, because I got some of these stats from looking at eBay. I got some of them online, you know, some of them from other sources, but I literally cannot find a bill. Here we go. Here's a 2005 Mickey bill. If I'm looking in the mirror for 10 grand. I don't believe that I would pay.
You couldn't hear the sound of my jaw dropping, but that's what that silence was.
I cannot imagine spending $10,000 on one of these things, but people are like really, really going nuts for them.
So
I mean,
people are spending.
It's insane.
Whoever is selling this is hoping that someone will spend $10,000
mm-hmm.
on a $50 bill.
Yeah.
It's a piece of paper.
That's exactly correct.
That was at some point worth $50.
So let's go back really quickly to Tom D'Arcy.
Yes, I wanted to know. I thought maybe you just forgot you started that story.
No, I didn't forget. I did not forget.
How much did he make?
So if we say on average that a $1 bill from Disney is like the first round of them are about $19 each online, and he bought 2,300 of them, seeing as if he maybe kept all of them, he would have $43,700. Now, he also bought that artist sheet, it was 400, only 400 were made. And looking through, these are a little bit, because they're a little bit scarce, it's a little bit more difficult to really pinpoint the numbers on this. But one that was in the 200s, it might have been like 224, something like that, sold for about $2,000. So having the first one estimated would probably sell for anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 online. The very first one of just... I mean, I don't even remember. I mean, I think it's like maybe $10 worth of bills on there. So it was the Disney dollar. Let me see if I can find one on here. Disney dollar artist sheet. And I don't even know if anyone sells them. Yeah, they don't seem to have it framed like he did. But yeah, here's one. 2003 for $2,500. $5 bills for $8,000. It's kind of unbelievable how much these things are being sold for.
I mean, if they're not being made anymore, anything rare, people will buy, and mm-hmm. especially Disney fans and Disney yep. collectors, they will put out money. Just not in this economy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yes, and we're still seeing, though, how people are just absolutely throwing money at anything Disney. So, like, if you look at like how people are freaking out over popcorn buckets or, you know, like lanyards or pens or something like that. Like, people go crazy for this kind of stuff.
It's all collectible. Everything's collectible.
And I guess it is, but how collectible really
can it? Pop figures, lightsabers.
I don't see how pop figures are collectible.
Says the guy with every Star Wars.
That's not entirely true. I have like a handful of the really good ones.
You have like 35.
I do not have 35. I probably have like 20.
I think you have about 35 Star Wars pop figures.
Let's see. Well, I don't know how many there are, so I can't quickly rebuttal, but
They were 869
Star Wars figures. Is that correct?
Okay, well, you have about 35 of those.
Okay. But it looks like they may have around 869 Star Wars figures.
And I think you have about 15 little Star Wars buddies.
Okay.
Somewhere in this office.
So I have like the Elite Series and some Black Series guys. But this isn't about me. This is about people who buy Disney dollars for way too much money.
But yes, collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
People will buy collectibles, especially if they're Disney things.
You know what I would buy? Is a $300 mint condition Mickey Mouse cones dollar bill. I mean, I'm not going to, but I think those are kind of fun. I think
those are really cute. I mean, they're almost 100 years old at this point.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think they're cute enough for $300, but they're definitely a lot of fun. So what? Oh, you know, I have one more fun fact about these things that I forgot about. And it reminded me because the treasurer of these dollars is none other than Scrooge McDuck. And when these were very first brought to Disneyland in 1987, there was a Disney dollar armored truck that went through the gates And Scrooge McDuck came out of the back of the truck, and he had a briefcase full of money, and he made the first Disney dollar delivery.
That is a classic.
So I thought that was kind of fun.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the long and short of these dollars. I mean, there's, you know, so apparently, you know, Jack Lindquist, who is noted for being he had like the idea originally for these dollars. He's really to thank for this whole thing. And I do think that, you know, they are fun. And do people go crazy? Sure. But I don't know. I don't think that this to me isn't any crazier than what other people do for Disney memorabilia, in my opinion.
Oh, it's not. For sure, it's not. It's just that they're not in production anymore, so their value has rapidly increased. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen pictures of people who have more than 100 Loungefly backpacks, and it's like...
That's what I was thinking of. Popcorn buckets and Loungeflies. That's what I was thinking about.
The amount of money that some people have put into Loungeflies is not too far off from how much somebody put into these Disney dollars. So,
yep.
And Disney dollars were a form of currency, so at least they were worth something, whereas a Loungefly is an item that you use
to
carry stuff around in. But
yeah, I don't see Loungeflies maintaining any sort of value over any period of time.
I don't know. Some of them definitely. I have looked high and low. I really, really want the Animal Kingdom Safari, like Mickey or Minnie Loungefly backpack.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Mickey Mouse and he's holding binoculars.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's only available on like eBay or Poshmark or anything. And it's always way too expensive. I'm going to have to, I haven't looked for it in a little while, but I'm going to have to check before our next Disney trip and see if I can find it. But I mean, ones like that they don't produce anymore. There's not a ton of Animal Kingdom Loungeflies.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see one online, I'm always like, oh, let me see if I can find that one for a good price. So yeah, when things are more rare, you know, that supply and demand.
Yep, that is 100%.
And when they're not produced anymore, I think that makes it really novel and people want to be able to say, you know, I have one of those.
Oh, for sure.
I had one of those.
For sure.
Yeah. But Disney dollars, it's a very cool thing. In one of our very early episodes, we mentioned this at the beginning, but we shared some tips about how to save some money at the Disney parks.
Buy Disney dollars. That's how you do it.
Well, buy Disney dollars. Not at this point, but buy Disney gift cards, guys. Create a budget. If you've been to Disney before, you kind of know that you're going to just spend a ton of money on food and all of that, snacks, everything. But if you can kind of come up with a budget, whether it's per person or per category, we usually do per category and per person, where we'll buy gift cards for spending money and each person will get a gift card for that, where you can spend it on souvenirs and clothes and all of those things. And then we will usually get food gift cards and kind of have those separately. Each of us will get a snack gift card for a smaller amount, and then we'll have like restaurant gift cards that we use.
Right.
So it's just a way to keep yourself in budget instead of just tapping your magic band or scanning your card and then getting home from Disney vacation and saying, whew,
what have I done?
What did we do? I mean, you still do that when you go to Disney, but at least you can kind of prep ahead of time. So that's what these Disney dollars used to be for. And you can still do that just with gift cards. Just be wise about it.
Two final things. First of all, I did want to say that I would highly recommend, if you have Disney dollars, do not spend them, even though you can spend them at Disney Cruise Lines or Disney hotels or parks. Just don't spend them. Save them or try to sell them if they're worth anything. The other thing I wanted to say, too, is as I was looking through, you know, like other Disney dollar pin related stuff, in 2008, there was a set of Disney dollar pins called the Mickey Mint series, and the reason that I bring this up is because I love them. They were basically every denomination from 1 to 100. So you had the Mickey Mouse, like Mickey Mouse is George Washington, Jiminy Cricket is Abe Lincoln, Figment has Alexander Hamilton, Goofy is Andrew Jackson, Stitch as Ulysses S. Grant, and then Donald Duck as Benjamin Franklin. And if you just like look at the expressions on their faces, especially Stitch, for some reason, I think is just fantastic.
He's my favorite one.
He's very grumpy.
Some of those are upsetting.
I like Jiminy Cricket with his big Abraham Lincoln beard.
No,
and
he looks like he has had some substances.
He looks high, is all I have to say. Jeez. He wished upon a star way too hard. But yeah, I found a Stitch one for $40 and he's so grouchy in it. Yeah, so I think that, you know, I think these things are really cool. You know what else that I keep all these little things that I remember keep hitting me. But one of the things that I was remembering is that when they were first throwing around the idea of Disney dollars, they thought about doing like obscure dollars, like a $3 bill with three little pigs on it, or like a $7 bill with the seven dwarves and stuff like that. Those would have been kind of interesting, but I definitely think they made the right call with what they did. So,
well, yeah, I think people are more used to ones, fives, and tens anyway.
Yep, exactly.
And then when they're paying for them, it's easier to just, if they were using cash to pay for them.
Right, exactly.
You don't have to use an obscure amount of money.
Totally, totally true. Well, I think that's about it about these dollars. I don't have much more to go over with these. So I just want to say thank you, everyone, so much for listening and for being a part of our journey here. We really appreciate everyone and you know all of your patronatism. If you would like to find us online, you can find us at the ParksAcademyPod.com, as well as on Instagram at the Parks Academy. You can also find us on, and we have a Patreon, and we are on Facebook and kind of all over the place, wherever you'd like to find us there. We also want to say thank you to our sponsors, Deep Cut and NeoSabers, for sponsoring the show. You can get discounts using the code TPA10 at checkout on both websites, and they have some really, really great stuff. We mentioned them earlier in the show, but definitely do check them out. If you would be inclined, we would totally appreciate a kind review and word on Apple Podcast. Those kind of things go a long way, and it definitely helps for the discoverability of the show. And we just appreciate everything, and thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next time.